broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. It's so good to hear your voice every Saturday morning, and I thank you so much. Just wanted to give a shout-out to Chad Higaki, the Superintendent of the Year, 2022 Superintendent of the Year. He's at Ted Makalena Golf Course, City and County of Honolulu. Looking forward to having him on the show as soon as possible because I want to feature everybody who won an award at the 2022 Ho'olaulea Aloha Section PGA. That was a wonderful evening, of course, actually held in 2023, but the awards for the last year. Got some tee times for you under these mostly sunny skies that we're going to have with some isolated showers on Kauai. The high about 77, unless you're up country. Sea breezes to 10 miles per hour. And you might like to know that the low tonight will be about 57, 62. Of course, it's 54 in Volcano. Yeah, it's always cold. 836, 920, 1010. I call it refreshing and wonderful. And we've got two tickets. We'll call them tickets. Two rounds of golf for you to win. All you have to do is be the ninth caller at 808-545-1111. And these rounds of golf, good for 1 year. So, you know, whenever you're on the Big Island, you can go play. That's 808-545-1111. Tee times at Volcano, 836, 920, 1010. Makalei, 1018, 1130. At Poipu, where a little rain's possible, it's closed. They're having the West Side Basketball Tournament fundraiser at Poipu, and everybody's turning out on Kauai to raise money for the basketball tournament. Turtle Bay has a 908, Royal Hawaiian Country Club a 928, Makaha East a 936. On Maui, the Wailea Gold has a 920, Emerald a 1 p.m., and the Blue Course a 920. Maui Nui, 944, 952, 1024. You've got to sign up online. Just Google Maui Nui Tee Times, and you'll find where you can do that. So, got a really good show for you. Welcome into the clubhouse. Yes, this is the Golf Club. On the radio, we're streaming live around the world. Aloha from Hawaii, if you're joining us. It's also podcast. The live stream and podcast is at radiogolfclub.com or wherever you get your podcasts in that case. So we got Michael Patrick Shields checking in with us. Keone Crew, founder and CEO of Keone Karu Golf. And Jeff Shackelford, author of a new book, Golf Architecture for Normal People. And kicking it off this morning with us is Mark Rolfing, analyst and commentator, Golf Channel, and NBC Sports.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood, broken pipe, cleanup, 24-7, licensed and insured. Aloha Power's Megastore is open behind the Costco gas station in Iwilei. Aloha Power Equipment, Iwilei and Waipahu. We put power at your fingertips. SciPac Cybersecurity, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of protection anywhere in Hawaii. Call 808-861-9595. And Aloha Section PGA. Teach your children to play golf. It's the gift that lasts forever. Now, here's Danielle Tucker.
And let's bring Mark Rolfing, analyst and commentator for Golf Channel and NBC Sports. Welcome into the clubhouse. Mark, good morning.
Good morning, Danielle. How are you doing this morning?
Excellent. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah, it is a gorgeous day here in the islands. I wish I didn't have to leave to go back to Connecticut again on Monday, but I guess that's my job.
Yeah. Yes. And it's a fine job. And you were at the Players, and you had a fantastic time. And then they dropped a bomb on us on Tuesday. So, not the Players, but the USGA and RNA. Boy, so much going on. Let's start off with the Players and Valspar. Are they going to get rained out? Have you heard how the weather is going to be? I'm sure you keep up with all of this, even if you're not there.
Yeah, I do. Because I may have a Golf Central appearance tonight. You know, this hitting distance issue is the front burner. And And so trying to figure out how we're going to deal with all that. But it looks to me like the weather's going to be bad starting about 4 o'clock Eastern. Frankly, I'm a little surprised the PGA Tour didn't move the tee times up and play early, because the weather's pretty good there right now. And they probably could have gotten the round in if they had started early, but they decided not to. They wanted to go live, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
So, I think they do have a weather threat late in the afternoon.
Yeah, yeah. So, our superstar is Scottie Scheffler. What do you think? What a guy.
Yeah, he's amazing. You know, we have a constant debate kind of between me and Brandel Chamblee and Aaron Overholzer and the guys I work with as to, if you take the world's top three players right now, which are Scheffler, McIlroy, and John Rahm, if you take those three guys and you have them playing at their absolute best, who is the best among those three at their best? Mm. I probably asked, I would bet 100 people at the players, over the last few weeks, who they would pick, media types, people that know the game really well. I did not have one person say Scottie Scheffler. Whoa. It was either McIlroy or Rahm at their best, they believe is the best. And it just shows me how under the radar Scottie Scheffler is. This guy is so good. I think across the bag, he is more consistent with every single club in the bag than the other two at their best. But he just doesn't, he's not a flashy kind of guy. And you know, he kind of gets overlooked all the time.
Yeah, he's sneaky good. He comes, you know, he's kind of like going along at his pace. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's like right there. Where did he come from? And then he's, because he wasn't in the lead for a while. And then I had to go out of the, you know, away, do some shopping, get some, you know, resources for like food. And then he'd come home and find, hey, he wasn't there before when I left an hour ago. How did he, you know, he just, that's the way he is. He just, and you just don't expect it. It's wonderful. And he's got such a great demeanor.
He really does. And I knocked Brandel out of his chair last week one day when I called Scottie Scheffler a chameleon. I said, he's like a chameleon. Like, what is this guy talking about? Well, I think he adapts better than any player to whatever the situation is. If you think about last year when he won those first four tournaments of his career, he did it all within a month. Hadn't won a tournament. All of a sudden, he won four within a five-week period. The first one that he won was in Phoenix, you know, world's biggest golf party, 200,000 people, you know, pretty wide open course. So he wins that one. Then he goes, the next one he wins is Bay Hill, which was the hardest course of the year other than the majors. It was like a U.S. Open, high rough, firm greens. He wins there. Then he goes to the match play, a dinky, tiny little match play course, totally different format, and wins there. And then he goes to the, you know, holy grail of golf, Augusta National, and wins the Masters. Every one of those was completely different, but he adapted to whatever the situation was. And that's, to me, his strongest suit.
How about his caddy?
I don't think this is a coincidence. I don't think it's a coincidence that Scheffler is doing this. Ted Scott is one of the absolute best at instilling confidence in his player. I don't think Bubba Watson would have won nearly the tournaments that he ended up winning if he had not had Ted Scott on the bag, because he's kind of a fragile personality sort of guy. That's not the case with Scheffler. He's not fragile from a personality standpoint, but he was always pretty fragile in terms of self-confidence. I didn't really see a lot of self-confidence in him at the beginning of his career, but that is really where Ted Scott, I believe, has helped him.
Yeah, and what is this wager that they've got going on? Some, you know, I think it's on using the wedge. I'm not sure.
How many shots he holds out. Like, that's the bet. It's pretty funny kind of bet. And I think one of the bets they had was for the year, and I think when he chipped it in, at Players, I can't remember which day it was, he already won the bet. Scheffler did, and we're not even into April yet.
This is wonderful. You know, the inside stuff about the relationships. And we had a great leaderboard in addition to Scheffler. Tim Hatton, Victor Hovland, Tom Hoge, Hideki Matsuyama. Just a really strong field. And great to watch. Now, this week at Valspar, we've got Jordan Spieth coming on than not. I mean, I feel like I don't know. He's strong, and then he sort of misses something that you think would be easy. What's your take?
Well, I really believe, Danielle, that Jordan Spieth is back. Is he all the way back to where he was at his career peak, 7 years ago? No, the answer is no. But that is primarily because of his putting. I watched him very closely over that Florida swing. He drove the ball quite well, I thought. He's a master around the greens. Nobody chips or hits bunker shots the way Jordan Spieth does. It's all putting for him. Now, if you look at what he's done at Valspar, he putted fabulous. I think he was number one in strokes gained putting on Thursday and then putted terrible yesterday.
Exactly.
But he still managed to shoot under par yesterday because he's hitting the ball so well. I think it's just a matter of time. I think Spieth is going to be a tremendous threat at the Masters. And the one that I got my eye on for him is the U.S. Open. I would not at all be surprised to see Jordan Spieth win at L.A. Country Club, win that U.S. Open in June.
Wow. Wow, that's exciting. We've got Webb Simpson, Cody Gribble. Don't want to leave Cody out. Nice to see him playing so strong. Cramer Hickok, Adam Schenck at the top. But nobody... I was watching Golf Central, Golf Today. Tommy Fleetwood. Hello, everybody. Tommy, he's a dynamic, fun guy to watch. At least he has been, hasn't he?
Yeah, he really has been. I don't know. It's a little bit of a mystery to me. He really totally lost his game for the last couple of years. Now he's starting to trend a little better the last couple of months. But I really think for some of these European players, the whole COVID situation took its toll, and it certainly did on Fleetwood. You know, he wasn't able to travel back and forth to the U.S. He was just getting settled on working on his game in America, and then ended up going back with his family in Europe there, and really didn't kind of overcome the whole COVID absence. I would say even last year he didn't, but he is starting to hit the ball better. I don't understand how you could have been such a great driver of the ball like Tommy Fleetwood was and then all of a sudden couldn't hit it at all. But he actually kind of said at one point he had the driver yips. The only other player I've ever seen have driver yips was Henrik Stenson. Usually you only have yips with a putter, but Fleetwood kind of had driver yips. He seems to be coming back in the right direction, though, and I don't think it'll be too long before he gets that first win on the PGA Tour.
Excellent. Yeah, the UK was hit pretty hard. I mean, really hard. And they really haven't recovered from COVID. And not that anyone has completely recovered from COVID, but it was tough. And it's just really good to see him back. I didn't even think about that. Thanks for bringing that into perspective. Can we take a really quick break and come back and talk about the Distance Insight Project,
yeah,
and then the distance proposal, and now the model local rule. We'll explain it all right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker with Mark Rolfing after this.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club. The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Ivele. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me.
I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Share our home with need a gift for that special someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay golf gift certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What do you get for the person that has everything? We're proud to announce Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show logoed merchandise store is open. Just click the green button on our RadioGolfClub.com website to find an outstanding selection of golf club logoed items. Make an impact on the golf course with our range of clothing and accessories that ensure a smile with every package. Explore all golf styles from shirts, pants to jackets, and hats in your size and color. Visit Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club merchandise store today at RadioGolfClub.com. Fun at your fingertips with style.
Got to make this 30-foot putt. Checking the break, three fingers, quieting the mind. Where's my putter?
I'm holding it. Let's go back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
And we're talking with Mark Rolfing, and we're talking about now the Distance Insight Project. Now, just to give you some idea, May 2018, how long ago was that? Project launched to study the impact of hitting distance in golf. February 2020, Distance Insight Report released detailing hitting distance trends in golf. February 2021, specific areas of interest, proposed equipment rules changes issued regarding the distance. And March 2022, updated areas of interest released on hitting distance in golf. Now, we have March 2023, a year later, model local rule proposed for golf balls in elite competition. Mind you, this has nothing to do with anybody but the top 300, Mark. What do you think?
Well, you know, initially it was. It was 0.0001% of the players at the top level. We are now kind of starting to realize what the reality of this would be were this rollback to occur. And I think it would be a much bigger impact than that. For example, if you talk about college players that wanted to play in the U.S. Amateur, which would be an elite competition, college players would then have to start using a modified ball, a ball that was rolled back. And already now the American Junior Golf Association has said, well, if we're going to get our kids ready to go to college and be college ready, they would have to be used to playing that ball when they were junior golfers. So I think that's the big problem with the rollback is how would it be implemented? Because I don't think it would just stop at the top players. I think it would start filtering its way down, and I would think it would be almost unmanageable.
So what do you think of the reasoning for this decision by the RNA and the USGA? What is pushing this rollout now, some 5 years after they started studying it?
I think they're worried about where is this all going to stop. 15 to 20 years from now, that's what Mike Wan was adamant about the other day. When he was talking, it's not just about today. It's what's going to happen in the next 15 to 20 years. The difficulty here, Danielle, is golf is the only major popular sport that has governing bodies. The NFL doesn't have a governing body. They have their own NFL, and they make their own rules and do whatever they want. In golf, you have the PGA Tour, which is not a governing body, and then you have the RNA and USGA, which are governing bodies. And so you have governing bodies making rules for other organizations. I do not see the PGA Tour adopting this local rule. I really don't. There are enough players against it that I've talked to. Look, would I run through the wall on my position of kind of being against this? No. But I need to see more input over the next 5 months. That's what they're going to have as a conversation period and see. But generally right now, I'm not seeing the kind of support the USGA and RNA thought they might have for this. I'm seeing much more support to keep things the way they are. Generally, the PGA Tour guys are saying we're stronger than ever, our product's better than ever. And by the way, if you go to a PGA Tour event, more people watch tee shots than they do putts anymore. They gather more around tees because they enjoy seeing Rory McIlroy drive the ball. So with things being as good as they are, I'm not sure it really makes sense to consider this rollback right now.
Yeah, one of the you know, things that comes up is people say, well, you know, the recreational game is stronger than it's ever been, but this doesn't impact the recreational game.
No, but look, if I don't know why, if you want to make the recreational game better, why you would focus only on the golf ball. If that were the case and you're going to have different sets of rules, why wouldn't you go back to allowing them to use anchored putting, let's say? If that would make it more fun and people would putt better, recreational golfers, why would you not do something like that and consider all the aspects of the game rather than just the golf ball?
Yeah, because recreational players certainly don't play. They don't hit it anywhere near what those guys play.
There's a lot to go into this.
Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
Have you heard any amateurs lately say, "Hey, Danielle, I'm quitting golf because I'm just hitting it too far and it's not fun anymore"? I haven't ever heard one person say that.
I don't know. Yeah,
my
position is more on the lines of the USJ and RNA, and respectfully, because their whole stand is the ball is going so far, the golf courses that are being played on by these top players are going to be obsolete. And who is going to, you know, it's going to be expensive to extend these golf courses. It's going to take more water. It's going to take more natural resources, stuff that we don't necessarily have. And in 30 years, if we don't do something now, start something now, then, you know, we're dead in the water in 30 years. It's too late to do something. So
you've heard me say that before. I'm with you on that one. But yeah. I think that would be equalized in terms of cost, in that if the golf manufacturers that make the balls, the Titleists, let's say the Callaways, those guys, if they had to create a whole new plant and set up to manufacture new golf balls that don't go as far, those golf balls would not be sold to the public. They'd be given away free to the elite players. Therefore, the cost of doing all that, which would be millions and millions of dollars, would get passed along to the consumers. Ultimately, the consumers, I think, unfortunately, are going to pay either way here.
Make those boys play. I mean, pay to play.
Yeah, buy your own golf balls, fellas. Come on.
You're making a lot of money.
Yeah.
Mark Rolfing, thank you so much for talking with me about this. I am torn, you know, I really am, but I do kind of roll with the problem about length and distance. Thank you so much for being on the show.
All right, I'll be on with Brandel on Golf Central all week next week, so you'll hear a lot there.
Oh, good. I can't wait to hear that. I'll be following you guys and listening to everything and try to incorporate all the different perspectives. Thank you.
Thanks, Danielle.
Aloha. We're going to come back. Someone who has a new book out that I think we all should probably read so that we understand all the stuff that's going on in the world of golf, Jeff Shackelford. His site is jeffshackelford.com. And his book is Golf Architecture for Normal People, Sharpening Your Course Design Eye to Make Golf Slightly Less Maddening. Now, I love the title of that book. It's coming in June, and you can pre-order via Amazon or at any bookstore, or you can go to actually bookshop.org. Bookstores won't be able to pre-order, I don't think. The bookshop.org helps you support local independent bookstores. So either Amazon you can pre-order or at bookshop.org to support the local independent bookstores. And of course, Jeff and I are going to talk about this model local rule after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets with the serenity that comes from having SIPAC watching your network and infrastructure so you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SIPAC.com. That's CYPA.com.
MD Restoration,
24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair.
Mold remediation.
Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now,
get MD cleaned.
All right, it's time to win. Dial 808-545-1111. 545-1111. And you'll win two rounds of golf at Volcano Golf Course on beautiful Hawaii Island. It's a stunning golf course between two volcanoes.
Breaking news. If you've ever wondered how to improve your home's looks at a reasonable price, a beautiful new Rainer garage door may be perfect for you. By investing in a Rainer door, you will have a strong, quiet door to enjoy now and increase your home's value should you sell. Now is the best time to order your new Rainer door with the gorgeous looks you've been seeing on other homes. Improve your home. Call 676-3667 or visit HawaiiDoor.com. That's HawaiiDoor.com.
Teed up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it, and rip it. Did I? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Jeff Shackelford, golf architecture for normal people, sharpening your course design eye to make golf slightly less maddening. That's his new book. He's author of 11 books. Otherwise, The Future of Golf is one of them. He's co-designer Rustic Canyon Golf Course. You can find him at jeffshackelford.com. He actually created that to kind of expand on his many published writings. And you'll love his new newsletter. Okay, Quadrilateral. I love his newsletter from the majors, substack.com. It's just really, you find so much information. And welcome into the clubhouse, Jeff.
Thank you, Danielle. I enjoyed listening to Mark Rolfing there, our good friend and a true treasure of a man, but he's completely wrong.
you know, it's hard for me to say completely wrong on anything, but I loved your two different attitudes were on display Tuesday with the RNA and USJ joint announcement of the proposed competition-only ball testing. The man was lucid, calm, and coherent, even likable, and on the same page. Modern golfers with two refreshing exceptions, Matt Fitzpatrick and Brandon Matthews. Those modern golfers came off as stooges who legitimately believe the $80 billion American golf industry and the world's 70 million players revolve around their needs and those of their suppliers in Carlsbad and Fairhaven. This is something that Jeff Shackelford wrote and is on his website. And that's why you need to go read what he writes. I'm looking at this going, this is exactly how I felt. Jeff. I was blown away by listening first to what the RNA and USGA said, right? And their presentation. Right. And they're talking about the golf courses and the need to start now because 30 years from now, we're going to be up against a wall, literally, right? So, and then to hear everybody talk about, well, you know, they're taking away our golf balls and we want to be athletes. And, hey, there's a bigger picture here. If that's how you feel, you pay for the expansion of the golf courses. You pay for the new, the more.
Yeah.
Tell me, talk to me, get me off the ledge.
Yeah. Well, let's start with that. That juxtaposition, I think, is really interesting. Now, I don't get out a lot, Danielle, but I was out at an event with a lot of golfers, and a lot of people were seeing the same thing I was, which is the pros sounding very whiny, soft, ignorant, oblivious, you name it. And unfortunately, our friend Mark there shared some of their fears and scare tactics or comments, or I don't know what they are, this needing to build new factories and this sob story. And, you know, you can start with any number of things, but yeah, let's start with the governing bodies, very level-headed. This is not fun for them. They don't want to do this if they don't have to, but they know they have to, and they've punted on this forever. And this idea, I mean, I just go on down the list. The idea that everybody's congregating around tee boxes and that's the PGA Tour. Well, why do we even show putts anymore then? Why do we show recovery shots? Why do we have tracer? You know, people, when you go to a tournament, ooh and ah, it's spin and a ball moving and a ball placed on the ground and feeding to a spot when you know the player placed it in just this one crazy random spot. Those are the things that make people ooh and on and give them goosebumps. You can't see a drive after 300 yards. And if you can, you can't tell the difference between 330 and 300. I mean, it's just, you just go on and on. And they're not even addressing other elements of it. But I guess just the overall problem that they now have is they are making such a fuss about this. And when you juxtapose that with all the money that's being thrown at them, and already people are probably starting to get a little uncomfortable with that, it's just not a good look for them, no matter how you feel about the topic. These are not good spokespeople for this topic, and it's fascinating to me that the companies are willing to let them kind of come off this way in the name of I don't know what, because they sure can make these balls. They've got patents already. They make balls, Danielle, right now. The tour players are playing that none of us can buy. So that argument is just pure hogwash.
Wow. I had no idea. See, there's so many things on the inside that we don't know, and we're given just, and I couldn't agree with you more about why are they letting them talk like this. I mean, put the ball manufacturers, don't make the ball manufacturers talk to the players, and the players speak in a fearful way and then angrily say, you know, you're damaging our athletic prowess. Please, you know, no one's asking you to give up your athleticism, keeping yourself in shape to hit the ball as far as you hit it now or just a little bit less. You're not going to give up your athleticism. I didn't understand that.
Yeah, that one's ridiculous because, of course, they become a little less athletic when they use a driver from 5 years ago and then a little less athletic for the one 10 years ago. And so, but more importantly, I think what's shocking is how many of the guys, and because this is all the guys talking about this so far, we haven't heard a whole lot from the women.
That's right.
But the idea is that we want somebody who is in shape, who is skillful, who makes clean contact, who has great club head speed, to truly get the benefits of that. There's nobody's wanting to take that away. And I think a few of them even kind of rambled and mumbled, and most of them were just these discombobulated messes of thoughts that, oh, yeah, it might actually benefit me. Yes, that's what we want. We don't want, you know, there's so many players, and they're not, I'm not saying they're bad people, by the way, either, but they get away with misses. There are people who are raised just a little bit more. They're great, but they're up to, you know, I mean, they're just a little bit better because of this stuff. And you'd like to see a little more separation on a number of fronts, and I don't know if any of those will be addressed in terms of shot making and just really being a pure ball striker. But I do think on the distance front, you want that long hitter to truly have an advantage if they can hit it on the planet. And, you know, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson to me are really interesting people in the history of the game, because no two players have ever seen a greater or more dramatic, radical change from when they started as kids or when they got good as teenagers to where they are now in terms of changes in equipment. And they've adjusted, but people have definitely come up to their level of a certain kind of just a complete game, of just a certain kind of genius almost. And I don't like that. And they can't say that. They can't point that out, that maybe a Bob May or a Y.E. Yang was able to hang with them, you know,
that's right,
down the stretch, because they got away with a few things. So there's so many elements to it, but the main thing is, as you noted with Mark, the average person's not going to be impacted. That was, they got that feedback, they took it, and they made a decision based on that. You know, the old days, I don't know how much these organizations would have been able to do that. So that's another positive in all this.
There you go. Can I, you know, in this, it's three pages and it reads so well. I just love this. And I've got to come back to the last. There were also the traditional claims of giving adults the freedom to buy what the pros play as a
car.
Who buys what the pros play? Who is even trying to play with? And they even say you can't really play with what the pros play with.
Yeah, there's two parts to this, and this is where I think the governing bodies are just in such a tough spot. But number one is, and I am so pleased to hear this from everyday golfers now, none of them believe that what the pros get to work with is what they find if they walk into a local golf shop. And nobody's buying that anymore. They used to. And by the way, I think there was some truth to it, but they've just gotten so good at what they do, between manufacturing and between fitting with launch monitors and a team that knows how to fit these guys and make little adjustments week to week. I mean, they change their wedges out regularly. They change the loft and lie and bounce radically depending on what's going on at a course. In terms of the firmness, you know, that's just nuts. That's hard to do. And, I mean, guys used to carry a backup maybe if they knew the course might be firm and they have another wedge that had less bounce, those kinds of things. So, number one, they already are just in another world when it comes to what they have access to. And then if they don't like the thing they have, they just get another one. Well, most people pay a lot of money for a club. They don't have that luxury if they don't quite like the way the face looks when they set it down. So that's a big part of it. And then, you know, there's no question there are things that they are getting and using that are not sold. They're conforming, but they are not sold to the public. Titleist has 12 balls on the conforming list right now. I'm going to track down, if they're going to keep whining about this, how many of those are available or were available to the public. Obviously, some of them might be the previous lines. So this idea, and then let's just get to the other topic, which is this idea that they truly believe they're growing the game and making it more popular than it's ever been, this group of people right now. I mean, the narcissism in that, and then just the unbelievable ignorance in that. Golf was struggling before the pandemic. Technology was not growing the game. It was not bringing more people to the sport, longer courses, longer rounds. All those things were not happening. The pandemic happened, and there's an incredible study that was just released by Stanford, and the New York Times wrote about it yesterday. And they pinpoint, I mean, they have all the data in the world. And golf has grown because of an appreciation for the safety, the enjoyment factor of being outside, and because more people were working remotely and suddenly they could go play a late nine. Suddenly they could do all these things that in, you know, previous years before the pandemic were hard to do in the work world. So this idea that somehow Billy Horschel and Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas are making people go out and play the game like never before because they hit it far. And by the way, those three I just named are not any of the longest hitters. Mm-hmm. And all three of those, by the way, will benefit significantly if they adopt this thing. It's just absurd. And it just shows you what little bubble they've gotten into out there. It's kind of embarrassing, frankly.
Yes. That was what was scary about it. It was like, God, you don't even look outside your little tiny world.
No, not at all. No, not at all. Okay. And there's a danger in that. I'm kind of shocked, you know, that the adults don't say, hey, to our earlier point, let us do the discussion. I mean, like Matt Fitzpatrick, his answer was fantastic. It's a ways off. I'll see what it is. I'll test it. And we'll go from there. And that's what it should be. And it wasn't like we're taking 100 yards off their tee shots. It's probably 20 yards off of the longest players, which means it probably won't even impact people at certain club head speeds. So anyway, that's just minutia not worth arguing about, because really this is all about this imaginary thing the companies have that we want to sell you what the tour pros play, even if it's really not the best thing for you to be playing with.
Even if we're not even selling them to you.
And then if you do buy it, it's still not the thing that they're using. Quite, you know, I mean, it's close. But not, no cigar.
All right. I'm switching. We're changing channels. We're going to the U.S. Open. We're going to the L.A. Country Club North. Wow, you must be. I mean, are you still in L.A. basically in that environ?
I'm
living
in the city of Los Angeles? Yeah. I'm not a member of the club. No, I'm the help. We were the help that took all their wonderful ideas and made the course better. We didn't have any of the ideas. It was all them.
Yes.
The members.
Yes. Okay. So L.A. Country Club North is hosting the U.S. Open. God. What do the members think about giving up their golf course for U.S. Open? Are they?
I'm going to guess they're just now starting to realize how unenjoyable it is to host a major. This is when it gets really the build out. There's somebody driving a truck that doesn't care whether you're about ready to hit a tee shot. You know, it's not pretty when courses have not hosted something. You know, Riviera here in LA, they do it every year, so the people kind of get used to it. But it's very disruptive, and when you have two courses and they use the other course to build merchandise tents and all that stuff, it does a lot of damage. It's not a lot of fun to see.
I bet. And you talk about one, a difficult par four and the historic real estate. I know this is, you know, I'm kind of getting a headline from your newsletter, and I just thought, can we go a little bit into that?
Well, you know, really what I'm trying to do with my writing is I do my usual architecture stuff, but I think what people should look forward to, and I don't know how much they'll really, you can capture this in a golf broadcast, because golf fans get all cranky when they don't see shots, but this North course, Danielle, is set in one of the most incredible neighborhoods in the world in terms of the real estate and the cost of it and the history of it, and the history of Los Angeles and the history of Hollywood. And so, I mean, you're talking about a course that's got Wilshire Boulevard on one side and Sunset Boulevard on very close to the fifth green. And those are two of the most famous and most bizarre boulevards in the world, because they start in downtown and they go through these, I mean, Wilson goes through Koreatown and Museum Mile and all these things, and Hollywood and studios. You got all this history. And Sunset, of course, literally the home behind the fifth green, was used as the inspiration and filming of one scene for the movie Sunset Boulevard, a legendary film. And so you just have all these kinds of little stories about what's surrounding the golf course. I mean, I'm about to write about the sixth hole, which has had a home next to it where Jane Mansfield lived. Engelbert Humperdinck bought it from her. He used to see her ghost at night. The home's been torn down. There's a pool next to the 6T that was the backyard pool for that Esther Williams owned for years, the legendary swimmer. So there's just all this great, if you love old Hollywood history, and they're surrounding that. And then you're just in the middle of the city. It's just, you know, the edge of Beverly Hills is on one side. Westwood and UCLA is on the other. And there's never been a place like this to host a major that's so in the middle, dead center of all the of the city, and that happens to be a city where there's this kind of interesting lore that no other city has in terms of its connection to Hollywood and to music and all that great stuff.
You know, it's that part of California, Los Angeles area, where nature has not been forgotten as the build out happened. So you still see the mountains. You still, you know, it's like there's something wonderful about that sense of California, Southern California, and then the magic of Hollywood being right there. It's just looking at some of the pictures was wonderful opening.
And yeah. Well, that's the other thing. It's nature right in the middle of the city. So you have these old Barrancas and coyotes and the hill, Hollywood Hills. There's nothing quite like it.
Yeah, there really isn't. JeffShackelford.com. That's his site, Jeff Shackelford. Can we talk about your book? I know I'm like, you know, saying, will you be on my show again?
Of course.
Because I really like, you know, the idea of sharpening your course design eye to make golf slightly less maddening. Doesn't that sound wonderful? It's his book called Golf Architecture for Normal People, Sharpening Your Course Design Eye to Make Golf Slightly Less Maddening. His name is Jeff Shackelford, and you can find him at jeffshackelford.com. Thanks, Jeff.
Danielle, anytime. Thank you.
Okay, aloha. We're going to come back and we're going to meet for the first time Keone Karu, founder and CEO of Keone Karu Golf. She's a mompreneur, a filmmaker, and a golf personality. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
I'm Paul Morikawa, 2020 PGA Champion. In every golf journey, some goals can feel like an uphill climb, even intimidating, especially if you're on your own. But in the game of golf, helping hands are all around us. Whether you dream of a championship or you're just trying to make golf your thing, PGA coaches have industry-leading knowledge, guidance, and support to help you take the next step. Just like my PGA coach, Rick Sessinghouse, has always done for me. Wherever your golf journey is headed, a PGA coach can get you there. Find your PGA coach at pga.com/coach.
The Aloha Power Equipment Superstore is next to the Costco gas station in Eveleigh. Riding mowers, robotic mowers, weed whackers, blowers, chainsaws, and generators. We got it all. Specials throughout the store. We stock parts and accessories for everything we sell. Honda, Maruyama, Steel, Echo, Billy Goat, and a lounge for while you wait repairs. Our Waipahu store is still open. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment Superstore.
Poipu Bay on Kauai, South Shore. Share our home with Need a Gift for That Special Someone? Tired of giving fruit baskets you know are getting recycled? Give a Poipu Bay Golf Gift Certificate. Whether it's a birthday, business, or anniversary, here's the one gift that is always the right size and the perfect date. Just give us a call and it will be waiting for you to pick up or mail to your office. There may even be time to sneak in a nine. Call us for the perfect gift, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay on the Garden Isle.
What do you get for the person that has everything? We're proud to announce Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show logoed merchandise store is open. Just click the green button on our RadioGolfClub.com website to find an outstanding selection of golf club logoed items. Make an impact on the golf course with our range of clothing and accessories that ensure a smile with every package. Explore all golf styles, from shirts, pants to jackets, and hats in your size and color. Visit Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club merchandise store today at RadioGolfClub.com. Fun at your fingertips with style.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play.
Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Keone Carew is founder and CEO of Keone Carew Golf. She's a mompreneur, a filmmaker, and golf personality. Welcome into the clubhouse, Keone.
Thank you for having me, Danielle.
Absolutely. Now, we, you know, in Hawaii, Keone would be kind of like a name. Where did your name come from?
So it is definitely Hawaiian.
That's so cool.
Yes, it's definitely Hawaiian. It's actually pronounced Keone. And it's kind of funny because growing up, I would let people call me Keone, Kiana. And my mom would get so upset. She's like, no, it's Keone. I got it from Hawaii. Your uncle's girlfriend, she named you. And it just makes sense. And we, you know, we're from the East Coast, we're from Florida. So I grew up a beach bunny. So it, you know, it just makes sense.
Well, I had to make sure. Keone Carew, that's it's a beautiful name. And it's wonderful to know that it is from Hawaii. I wasn't sure, you know, and so this is great. This is great. I got to give you a little bit of back. Let's go backwards a little. When you talk about being a mompreneur, what is a mompreneur?
So I like to say mompreneur because I am a mother, but I'm also an entrepreneur. And so I think a lot of times, you know, women, we don't give ourselves enough credit when it comes to living, you know, the day-to-day life of taking care of your household, whether you're a single mom or you're, you know, married. We work so hard, and being a mom is really a job. And I, you know, make sure that my son is well taken care of and he has the best education and he's on top of his game. So on top of me running my business, I'm basically running two businesses. So I just like to say mompreneur.
That's wonderful. And what is he into? What kind of sports does he like?
So my son is a basketball player. He is six and a half. Huge kid. Yes. So you can only imagine, you know, his appetite and just him growing is a lot of work.
How often do you go to the grocery store?
You know, it's gotten down to, it was once a week, but I've been able to go at least, I'm at the grocery store at least three times a month at the very least.
There you go. I understand completely. Mine isn't 6'6", but you know, it's that you don't, just don't realize how much they can consume without getting fat. It's like, wow. You know, it's truly incredible. So basketball is the name of his game. And that is awesome. That is a great sport. All sports are great. Whichever one a kid gets into, it's awesome. And then Does he enjoy golf at all?
So originally he did not like it. He's like, no, mom, I don't want to go, you know, practice. And I got him a coach one year, and he did it once, and he was really good. The guy showed how to swing, and he was a natural. And I got so excited. I said, oh my goodness. I was like, this is it, Aiden. Like, this is so hard to come by. And he's like, mom, it's just so bored. I'm bored. You know, I'm looking around, mom, and there's just like, everyone's much older, and they're older than you, mom. Like, I don't understand how you can you like this. But then as he got older, now he respects it. Now he loves it. Now he's more like, hey, mom, I don't mind going with you. But really, he's very a contact sport kind of kid. And he understands that a lot of the athletes that he looks up to, they all play golf.
Yeah.
So he knows that is somewhere that's going to happen down the line for him. He's going to have to, you know, take it more serious.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, Gronk was at Valspar, right? And so he you know, the game is the game. You know, football players, baseball players, basketball players, they all learn to play golf because there's a part of life that just is golf. And if you want to be, you know, connected, so to speak, in all different layers of the world of business and sports and what have you, then you golf's the thing to know. And that's all there is to it. You can't go out and play. Well, you could play, do a pickup game with some people on the court, but you wouldn't be able to have the same kind of interaction time that you get with golf. And that's the beauty of it. A filmmaker, you are a filmmaker. Tell us about, how did you get into filmmaking?
So I got into filmmaking at a pretty young age. When I was about 10 years old, maybe even younger, my mom had my sister and I in many plays and just many different theatrical shows and different things like that. And as I grew older, I continued to act, but I was bullied as a kid. So I would write horror stories about the bullies instead of tattletaling. So I felt that it was better for me to write, and because I grew up journaling. My mom always had my sister and I journaling. So I thought, I don't want to tell on these bullies, but I'm going to write a scary movie about them. And that's how I'm going to get my frustration out. So as I got older and I moved to Hollywood, I would go to auditions and the casting directors would call my manager and say, hey, your client, she basically told the writer how this doesn't make sense. And so now the writer has to go and create the character again because it totally doesn't make sense. And my manager said, are you an undercover writer that you're not telling me about? Are you really a filmmaker? Like, you really have an eye. And so he got me the best screenwriting coaches in the world. And for 5 years, I just, you know, perfected and studied my craft until I became a master at it. And so now, years later, I directed a couple of pilots and short films. And so now I am going and trying to achieve bigger and better opportunities as far as really showing my work and doing things for studios and things like that. So, yeah.
Now, this is awesome. That you chose to write stories about your bullying experiences to get it out and yet not point finger. That's awesome. And the production companies include Blumhouse Productions, Sumerian Films, Cinema Libre Studios. Awesome. And so now you have, like, I could go to KeoniKaru.co and I can see all your clothes. How did the golf facet of your personality come to fruition?
So I started playing golf about 17 years ago. And when the first time I ever swung a club, and as most golfers know, Florida is a major golf hub. I mean, there's courses everywhere. So growing up, I was always surrounded by golf courses. But again, I never really took it serious because it was there. And no matter what, it's, oh, okay, like, let's go ride around on my parents' golf cart and just mess up the greens and, you know.
No.
Yeah. And it wasn't until a friend of mine said, hey, I booked us a job. I'm able to hire all of my friends. We're going to be golf caddies for this European golf team. And it's at the Disney Wild World of Sports. So we're going to get paid a lot of money. We can drink. And we're going to tell these guys, we're going to hand them the clubs. And don't worry, the name of the club is going to be on the club. And we were just clueless. Like, I'm like, what? But all I could think of is, I'm going to hang out with my best friend. We're going to be at the Disney Wild World of Sports. And we're going to drink. So this, why would I say no? And so it started raining. And I have the pictures from our outfits. Our outfits were over the top, just classic. So it started raining and the guys were done. They're like, we're done. We want to go back to the clubhouse. We're kind of over it. And so my friends and I said, no, well, we're not done. We're just, the party's just starting. And so we literally dug up the earth. We were swinging away on the course, trying to figure it out. And I finally hit the perfect shot, the perfect sound. Everything, my swing was disgusting, but everything else was perfect. And at that moment, I was hooked. I said, oh my goodness, I have to play. So I started to, so I wouldn't date guys unless they were golfers. So if you were not a golfer, it was a no. I didn't care how cute you were. I did not, you had to be a golfer. And because I had to go and get on all the courses and just play. So as I continued to play, I really was discouraged by the outfit. And I would go, oh my goodness, how can I play this? Like, I'm used to, you know, hot shorts, you know, skirts and like really cute outfits. I was a model. So, you know, I was into, I want to show, not show off my body. I hate to say that, but you know, I was young. And I'm a Floridian, so it's hot. You know, who wears, you know, shorts to your knees? And so it was just really discouraging. And I would only want to go to public courses. But then I realized that a lot of the more beautiful courses are not all public. They're private. So then my next mission was I need to get on more private courses. And I started to think of, okay, business deals go down on golf courses. So if I really want to, you know, further my career, whether modeling, the film industry, I need to be around more business people. So I started to basically create my own outfits. And this was years ago. I would just kind of find, you know, a Nike outfit or an Adidas outfit, and I would cut it up, and I would sew, you know, things on it, and I would just make it my style. As time progressed and I got older, and I'm, you know, in Hollywood, I'm in the film industry, I'm pitching, I'm doing everything, and I'm golfing still. I'm working part-time at a country club just so that I could get free golf. I said, you know, I'm going to go work at a country club because then I'll be able to golf almost anywhere because it's under a management company. So for me, it was a win. I can work one day a week at a country club and golf, you know, when I want to, this is perfect. So when COVID hit, I was laid off. I was super depressed. I was laid off everywhere. And I was miserable. And so I, you know, said, well, you know, well, golf is pandemic proof. So I might as well just keep golfing. And then I'm just going to golf the whole entire, you know, COVID. And I'm going to, this gives me the opportunity to really focus on my game and possibly go pro and, you know, just keep at it. And then I kept getting stopped by different men and women. Hey, where did you get that top? Where did you get that skirt? That's so cool. I would love to get my wife that outfit. And so I just started laughing and I said, hey, I actually made this up. I just kind of cut it and sewed a few things on it. And my guy friend that was golfing with me a lot at that time said, I'm so sick and tired of golfing with you because we always get stalked about your outfits. Dude, I think you need to do something. I think there's a calling here. So I said, I don't really know like if I really want to take on this responsibility, but I'm ambitious. So I'm up for a challenge. So I went to the PGA merchandising show. I did my homework and I went to just a bunch of different golf shows and just did my homework. And I started drawing. A friend of mine referred me to a supplier. I sent him my story of, you know, who I am and what I wanted to do and what I saw the future of golf. And he said, I want to work with you. He said, this is great. Like, this is great. I love this vision. I love what you want to do with golf. Because I think a lot of times women, we don't have the same luxury as men. And sometimes that's okay. Okay, fine. We don't need to have the same things as guys. But when it comes to golf, a guy can wear his outfit at the office, on the course, at a 5-star restaurant with his wife or his girlfriend or whatever, and he still looks good. women cannot go from the golf course to a five-star restaurant because they look like clowns. They cannot go, you know, to their executive office and their, you know, their outfit because it's just so, you know, what is this? Stripes and polka dots and flowers and bright, you know, it's just kind of tacky.
Yes.
So what I wanted to do is I wanted to create a lifestyle brand for women that they can wear it on and off the course, but it's still athletic. It's still as, you know, athleisure to the point where it doesn't necessarily have to look like a golf outfit, but it can transition into that as you know, whether you change your shoes from, you know, your golf shoes to high heels, to sneakers, to flip flops. I wanted women to have that, you know, mobility to be able to transition and wear something without, you know, having to bring extra bags and whatnot. So that's kind of how I came up with Kayoni Karu Golf.
That's marvelous. Kayoni Karu Golf, Kayoni Karu, founder, CEO, mompreneur, filmmaker, golf personality. You really are so inspiring. I hope that, you know, young women are listening, because when you made a plan, you said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to study this. I'm going to go there. I want to get there. And you made plans the whole time. And it's like people say, thinking, you create it. You make a plan, you create it. So that's what, you know, I think is missing in a lot of people's lives, making plans, creating it mentally and manifesting it physically. So that's awesome. Thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse. Thank you for all that you do for outside of your family, for the homeless population, the elderly, the at-risk children. And thank you for being a part of AFRIA, the Uganda Africa amazing program to teach young people in Uganda how to play golf. And I can't wait to have the two of you back on with Isaiah and Kayoni talking to me about how you're helping him. That will be wonderful to find out. Thanks for being on the show.
Yes. Thanks so much, Danielle. I look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you. Aloha. We're going to come back. His name is Michael Patrick Shields, and he's in Hollywood. Or is he? Because I never know where he is. He's around the world. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
PGA Junior League is a fun team golf experience for kids that the entire family can enjoy.
Boys and girls learn the game from PGA and LPGA professionals and have a great time with friends.
Find your team and get ready for a fun and exciting PGA Junior League season.
No high fives for me? What is
that? I want to see you out playing in your jersey and having fun. Visit PGAJuniorLeague.com.
KORL, Waianae, Honolulu.
You can buy new equipment and practice your swing, but peace of mind is the best way to improve your game. Our mission at SIPAC is to safeguard organizations from cyber attacks and business disruption. We are an elite group of cybersecurity specialists providing the deepest level of cyber protection anywhere in Hawaii. As local residents with businesses and families, we are fully invested in protecting Hawaii's livelihoods and assets with the serenity that comes from having SIPAC watching your network and infrastructure so you can completely focus on your next swing. Call 808-861-9595 or on the web at SIPAC.com. That's CYPA.com.
MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. COVID compliant. Fire damage repair.
Mold remediation.
Asbestos abatement. Call 528-3434. And now,
get MD cleaned.
Breaking news. If you've ever wondered how to improve your home's looks at a reasonable price, a beautiful new Rainer garage door may be perfect for you. By investing in a Rainer door, you will have a strong, quiet door to enjoy now and increase your home's value should you sell. Now is the best time to order your new Rainer door with the gorgeous looks you've been seeing on other homes. Improve your home. Call 676-3667 or visit HawaiiDoor.com. That's HawaiiDoor.com.
Yeah, yeah. A mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Before we bring Michael Patrick Shields in, I just want to mention the Master's Meal. And this is from Scotty Scheffler. He's serving steak and cheeseburger sliders with family-style side dishes. He's not big on fish himself, but he's going to also serve Texas redfish for those who don't like red meat. So it's cheeseburger sliders, firecracker shrimp, tortilla soup, Texas ribeye or blackened redfish with a warm chocolate chip skillet cookie. All of that is for the Masters. You believe the Masters is coming up? It's amazing how quick this year is going by. Yes, it's the Masters dinner for all the champions. That's going to be a whole lot of fun. And welcome into the clubhouse. It's Michael Patrick Shields. And it's Michael Patrick Shields who is the host of Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, author and the golf club's travel guru extraordinaire, who goes around the world as much as Michael Patrick Shields. I don't know. Hi, Michael Patrick.
Aloha on this beautiful, what is it, Saturday morning.
After you know, what was that day yesterday? It's kind of foggy, right?
The greatest holiday of the year, St. Patrick's Day yesterday. You bet. I don't know what day it is. It's beautiful, though. I'm standing on the Santa Monica Pier looking at the very placid Pacific and knowing that you're just, well, five-hour flight away from here, right?
Yes.
Across that waterway.
Yes.
Beautiful to be with you.
Oh, it's beautiful to be with you. And, you know, we're talking about many different things, but Jim Nance stands out. And, Jim Nance is an amazing person. He's going to be at the Masters. What is it, his 38th time being there? But one year he told us a story about Clint Eastwood being in the broadcast booth with Jim Nance. Did you hear about what happened in that conversation?
Well, I know he's hoping to make it to 50 Masters tournaments before his career is done, and he just re-signed a long-time deal with CBS. And I say that, you know, in an era when broadcasters are doing an awful lot of moving around when it comes to sports and golf and so forth. And he was here, obviously, for the L.A. Open a few weeks ago, and we had breakfast at Nate and Al's, which is down the street from where he was staying at the Beverly Wilshire in Beverly Hills. And we sat at the Larry King table because if you remember that radio and TV star Larry King, when he lived in Beverly Hills, would go there every single morning at 8 o'clock in the morning and sit at a table and hold court and eat the same thing every single time. So we said, let's have breakfast and let's sit at the Larry King table. And so as two broadcasters, it was just sort of cool to do that. You know, kind of silly, but cool.
Yes.
And then, of course, Jim, being as smooth as he is and connected as he is, says, you know, well, I sat here once with the real Larry King.
Oh,
I'm sure you did.
That is so nice.
Yeah. And later that day when he finished with me, he was on his way to play golf at Bel Air with Al Michaels.
Wow.
The other longtime broadcaster, of course.
Yes.
And he said that every year when he comes to the L.A. Open, they get together and they play one round of golf. And, you know, Al Michaels is, is he a competitor? He says, no, he's a friend. You know, he says, he's just a great guy. And we get together and it's a tradition. And I caught him and I said, a tradition unlike any other? And he said, yeah, I guess so.
That's good. No?
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Am I interrupting?
It's a different year for Jim because you mentioned he'll be at the Masters tournament, and that will be right after his final NCAA Final Four call the night before in Houston because he's not going to do that anymore. And This will be the last time. And so it's special for him because it's in Houston where he went to college. And the Houston Cougars have a chance to win the NCAA tournament. So he's just imagining that. Could you imagine at the end of his career if he gets to call in Houston, his alma mater, winning the NCAA tournament? And he said that he has no idea what he would say, that he doesn't plan it ahead of time, but it's all spontaneous. And so there's a little something extra to sort of a little bit of intrigue to root for. And then as soon as that's over, if you can imagine all that, he gets on a plane and goes right over to Augusta, Georgia from Houston to jump right into the Masters tournament. So it's just amazing the gear change that will have to happen from the NCAA to the Masters as it does for him every year. But this is the last year.
Oh, you know, but not for the Masters. But that's
no.
Kind of sad. Why does he not want to do that anymore?
Well, I tease him. I say, what are you just getting 3 weekends off? What's so hard about that? He starts laughing because the preparation that has to go in and the fact that he calls something like 17 games in 15 days when you do the NCAA tournament, it's breakneck, you know, at that level. And so he's got two young children and a daughter who's getting married this summer, and he just needed some more time with his family. So
right on.
He's going to give that part of it up. And he loves NFL and he loves golf and he loves basketball too, but he just said, I just need some more family time. And so he lives in Nashville now and still has a home at Pebble Beach. And part of the reason to move to Nashville was that he could get home from anywhere on an NFL weekend or a PGA Tour weekend, where getting back to Pebble from an event on the East Coast, you know, calling the Patriots game,
yes,
you know, and getting done and trying to get home was very, very difficult.
Yeah, yes.
That's the deal. Yeah.
That is great. That is great. I really like him a lot. But I need to ask you, I saw a picture of you. It was Oscar week in Hollywood just recently. And I saw a picture of you holding an Oscar. What? Explain.
There's, I obviously did not win an Academy Award in my first year of background acting. And they should have a category for background actors now that you mentioned it, though.
Yes.
I wonder why they don't.
Yes.
No. But I'll give you the secret of that. That is, you can do that, too. The Academy Museum of Motion Pictures is run by the people who run the Oscars. And it's a fairly new museum, a very extensive complex here in Hollywood. And you can go there, and they have what's called the Oscars Experience. And you go and you stand in front of a video screen, and it looks like you feel like you're getting the Oscar, and they have you give a little speech on the video and smile. It goes fast, but yeah, you can live that scenario like you're actually doing it. So it's sort of fun to do that, but anyone can do it at the Academy Museum.
That is so cool. I mean, I looked at that going, wow, what did he do now?
It's called Hollywood, baby. It's showbiz. It's not real. Nothing here is real. That's important to remember.
Well,
I will.
Yes, please.
I'll give you a little one, though. That Academy Museum just finished a run of a temporary exhibit on The Godfather. And as fate would have it, you know, I love the movie The Godfather Part 2 and even Part 3. So they had all sorts of artifacts in there. And it was a really cool exhibit. Even the horse's head from the bed was on display.
Oh, dear.
In that museum. So get this. I'm at the Hollywood Tower Hotel at the Tower Bar, and in walks Al Pacino and sits down across the room at a table.
Whoa.
And I get the nerve up to say something to him. Everybody left him alone, but I had a common friend, actually the lady who cast him in the movie, Andrea Eastman, and I had just had dinner with her the night before at Spago with Wolfgang Puck. Now that's enough name dropping for a whole year right there.
Right.
But I got to roll it out, so I went with it. Hope you don't mind. But anyway, so that was my reason. I could go over and say, excuse me. I said, I was with Andrea Eastman for dinner last night, and I know she'd want me to send her best. And so he looked up like, you were? I go back a long way with her. He said, is she in town? I should call her. How do I reach her? You know, and so it was a nice moment where it could have totally dusted me off. But he was very friendly. And then I said, you know, I'm going to take her over to the Godfather exhibit at the Academy Museum. Have you seen it? And he said, no. And his friend said, if Al went over there to that exhibit and walked around, they would think one of the statues came to life.
You have the most marvelous interactions with people.
Just got to invite yourself to the party, that's all.
Isn't that the name of a book you wrote?
It is. I should have never written that book, but it's out there, and it's too late now.
You've not written that book, Invite Yourself to the Party? I think you should. And
I did, but I shouldn't have, because it's out there now, and people can get it and read it.
Oh, I see.
Probably things I shouldn't have said something.
I see. Well, then we need to go buy that copy right away. But I want to live in your coat pocket. Just so I can experience Al Pacino in a restaurant with his friend and you saying, hey, I just saw Eastman. And you know what was really wonderful to me about that interaction was, he's just a mensch. You walk up to him and you say, hey, you know, I know this friend. And yeah, oh, really? And it turns out that he'd like to get the number and you can give. That is a real life interaction with another person, has nothing to do with, even though it probably was inspired by star power. But, you know, at the bottom line, it was just two people having a conversation and helping each other out. That was awesome.
Yeah. And I know this is kind of a fanboy kind of thing to say, but Andrea Eastman's office, you know, or Al's office called her. And she said, yeah, Al remembered your conversation, and so he's trying to reach me. And I'm like, wow, that made Al Pacino's radar.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah,
but the trick is, like anything, if you have something to offer somebody, it's much better than asking to get something from them. Can I have a selfie? Can I have an autograph?
Oh, yeah.
If you can find a way that you're giving something in a business or in celebrity world or whatever it might be, just in your friendship, it's a much better way to connect if you can figure it out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Such good advice. Goodness. Now, Polo, we always hear about Polo Lounge at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Do you do you hang there?
I do. And it sounds ridiculous, and but it's not. It's like a club that you can go into that you don't have to belong to as long as you behave yourself. And I've seen everybody from U2 walking in there, and Bono, and Paul Anka at a table in the corner. And I saw Brian Williams from NBC, the former news anchor, was there. I mean, just listing off names. Kelsey Grammer was in there once. Stevie Wonder I saw. And you know, you can't go in there and have your head on a swivel, and you certainly can't take pictures or ask for autographs. But it's the most famous old Hollywood club going back from the golden age until now, and it's in the Beverly Hills Hotel. And it's one of those places that is time honored and it hasn't changed. And it's sort of an indoor outdoor experience with a courtyard, and it's just full of fauna and fans. It's gorgeous.
now what do you gotta wear to seem like chill and you belong?
Well, I wear a Gucci scarf every single time, and I got no business wearing Gucci clothes, but I do. And so the waiter there, Angel, calls me Senor Gucci. So once he did that, I'm like, I have to wear this scarf every time, because if you're going to become known, you got to like kind of keep going to the same place over and over. And, you know, and so it's, again, a silly thing, but I enjoy knowing the bartenders.
Sure.
And having a nice time, and you know, they have really nice cocktails, and souffle is a big thing there too, and the McCarthy salad, and the bolognese the rapper Drake put it in one of his songs, and so there's always something going on there, and it's very magical. That's where I met Andrea Eastman, the casting director for The Godfather.
Okay, now how did you meet her?
She was at the next table. I was sitting with George Norrie, the radio star. Uh-huh. Who's on 650 stations overnight. He's from Michigan. And so we connected and became friends. And I don't know, we just sort of started talking to the folks at the next table. And I got seated next to her, this nice lady with rose-colored glasses. And they said, oh, she was casting director for The Godfather. I said, wait, what? And if you saw that TV show, The Offer, on Paramount, like, with that series about The Godfather last year, she was featured in that as well. Her character was. She was just a very sweet lady. And she went on to manage Barbara Streisand and Dustin Hoffman and a lot of celebrities that you would know. But she's a very, very sweet lady. She's 82, and she's still a force in Hollywood.
Wow.
And so, yeah, it became very nice friends with her.
That's nice. I mean, do you have to go there frequently to run into all those people? That is amazing. You seem to, wherever you go, just find people. Speaking of, we only have like, I don't know, 60 seconds, a minute and a half, yeah, maybe. But you're going to Palm Springs, or is it Palm Beach? Or are you going to both?
That's the funny part. I'm going to both in the span of a month, because very often people get them confused. If you say Palm Beach, they think Palm Springs. If you say Palm Springs, they think Palm Beach. Both of them have excellent golf, obviously. Both of them have PGA Tour events. PGA National at Palm Beach Gardens has the Honda Classic and the Bear Trap, the Nicholas Design, beautiful resort that's been renovated. So I'm going to go check that out. And Palm Springs is where the Bob Hope Desert Classic was played all those years, and the Dinosaur. And they've got a resort there called Indian Wells with a number of hotels attached to it. But two courses there, the Champions and the Celebrity. You can play in the mountains and play like you're in the Celebrity Championship, because they treat you like a celebrity there. So you've got two resorts and two places with similar names on opposite sides of the country. So I'm going to do a daily double and check them both out.
That is fantastic. So when are you going? You'll have to be on to talk to us about Indian Wells and, you know, all the different places you're going and the people you're meeting and, you know, the songs you're going to write and the books you're going to autograph.
Yeah, I'm going right after Dodger opening day, which is very beginning of April. And then so in April and early May, I'll do both of those.
Oh, take me out to the ball game, for heaven's sake.
Yeah, come on.
Go.
I got the Arizona team that night, so it'll be fun to have the Dodgers back.
Fantastic. You know, Michael Patrick Shields, host of Michigan's Big Show with Michael Patrick Shields, travel guru extraordinaire. It is always fun having you on the show, getting the inside scoop on all of the celebrities in Hollywood. Thank you for being inside the clubhouse with me.
Mahalo and aloha, Ohana.
Yes, aloha. All right, and I just want to say that, you know, MD Restoration for flood, fires, whatever happens, you need, just write the number down. It's 528-3434. 528-3434. You need to have that number with you. If something happens, like a flood or a fire, you call them immediately. They're on it as soon as possible, putting their crews together, getting in there, you know, coming over. Something happened to me, and I was like, where are you? Yeah, we're on our way. At any time of the day, right away, if disaster strikes your home or office, call MD Restoration as licensed contractors. They'll not only do all the cleanup, they can then, of course, do the repairs. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store next door to the Costco gas station on Alakava in Iwile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. And they've got some specials going on that I want you to know about. All the Honda generators are $100 off. And free two-year warranty. That's worth $250 off. Now, remember what we talked about last week. If there is something like another power outage and you get a generator, you can use an extension cord, one of those really good ones, have it to your refrigerator, generators outside, and everything's fine, and you don't have to worry about losing your food. Rainer garage doors, beautiful look, maximum security, quiet. It's your first safety zone. The Rainer door, adding value to your home. It's the perfect time now. 676-3667. And you can see the latest garage door designs at hawaiidoor.com. We're honored to have the support of the Aloha Section PGA. You heard it today from one of our great PGAs on the show. Value, yes, because you get in touch with them and they help you figure out this wonderful game of golf. Because once you get a PGA to help you, they have studied this wonderful game of golf that can be so frustrating, but it's not when they're with you. SIPAC for cybersecurity for your company or your organization. SIPAC, an elite group of cyber specialists providing the deepest level of security for your home, anywhere, all right? Anytime, give them a call because you want to be safe. You want your customers to be safe. That's what we've got for you today. Now, thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. Aloha. I'm Tucker.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2023.